the Giants postgame live, folks, presented by Timex. We are live at the stage at MetLife Central. Final score today, Steelers put one pretty good to the Giants by a final score of 24-20. How you doing, everybody? I'm Russ Salzberg, along with my colleagues Roman Oben, Howard Cross, and Imani Toomer. But listen, before we start talking about a football game, football is secondary business this week. As you all know, the devastation and suffering caused by Hurricane Sandy. We would be remiss if we not send out our thoughts and prayers to all those people out there who are suffering. We want to let you guys know you're not alone. Our thoughts, prayers are with you. And I want to give a special shout out, especially on a day when it's salute to service. Speaking of the service, the folks really got themselves beat up pretty good at Breezy Point. And last summer, those folks at Breezy Point opened up their homes to the wounded warriors, having the wounded warriors and their families come into their homes, showing them a good time. And they need our help now, folks. So whatever you can do, we'll tell you more about that later in the show. That said, it was a football game here today, guys. And quite frankly, from a Giants fans perspective, it was a lousy football game because they were flat every which way. Beat on returns, beat on coverage, rushing defense, take it where you want to go.
Yeah, Russ, I mean, you're talking about a football team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, that landed at 11 o'clock today, went to a hotel, took a nap, got a pregame meal, and came to the field for a 4 o'clock game and won every single physical battle across the board against the Giants. So I think overall you saw a lot of disappointment of what you were thinking the Giants were going to be capable of doing, which they didn't do, especially at the line of scrimmage.
Well, you know what? I think it's been building, you know, week in and week out. I think they've been having a lot of trouble trying to get some consistency, trying to get upfield with their defensive linemen, playing in the gaps. You got to be able to get up the field and put pressure on the quarterback, not two gap where you play either side, but get pressure, get some penetration. And from the offensive standpoint, you know, my Bradshaw is a little banged up, and you got to realize, guys, that, you know, when he's limping around, you got to have another guy's got to be the next man who steps up and make a play. And out of the receiver corps, outside of Cruz, I don't know if anybody else was there.
It didn't look like Hakeem Nicks was healthy tonight. And one of the things that I'm looking at when I see this team is I see a team that waits for the fourth quarter to try and put their best foot forward. And tonight, in the fourth quarter, they got absolutely rolled over. This is something that you haven't seen from the Giants in a long time. And now they seem to have to go back to the drawing board and kind of figure out what kind of team they really are going into the second half of the season.
Roman, you brought up a point about the Steelers coming in, arriving at 11 o'clock. Let me ask you, you know, the Giants won't make excuses. They don't deserve any excuses. Coach won't make excuses. But do you think they were affected by their families and some of their lives being uprooted this week? Because certainly they look like their heads were other places today. This was not Giants football we saw today.
Well, a lot of things people don't realize is that football is always the equalizer. Things happen during the week. When I played in San Diego in 2007, we were affected by the fires, had to be displaced, practice in Arizona for a week, fly back to San Diego and practice. But when kicks off, whether it's 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, you've got to play. The game will go on. The NFL has done a lot, which is accommodating both of these teams, accommodating the Steelers. But it does affect you a little bit during the week. But football is what takes you away from all the things that have gone on. And you're talking about a community in New York, New Jersey that's been affected. They expected to see a better product on the field. And I think special teams where it starts and ends. And for me today, that's what I saw.
Well, I don't want to make excuses, though. When you're living in the dark, which a lot of the players are, that does do a little bit of it takes you a little bit out of your rhythm a little
bit.
It does. It doesn't give them an excuse why they're playing. But once you show up, you got to show up. You got to do your job. But living in the dark, you know, your families are in the dark. Your kids are at home. A lot of things are going on in your lives. Again, no excuse. You come play, going to play every week.
Yeah, but they've been steadily getting worse.
Yes.
This is not something that came out this week. Mm-hmm. You know, they played against the Cowboys last week, barely hung on to that game. They need to figure out a way to try and play more consistent football throughout the entire game. Coming out of the second half, I thought they really turned the corner in that third quarter and really took control of this game, but then they just gave it away, just like last week. It's a bad trend when you're giving away leads in the fourth quarter.
They haven't put the foot on the throat, so to speak. But, you know, we'll get more about the Giants later. Now we got to take care of some very important business, folks, and this includes you people helping out. You know, the MetLife Foundation is going to make a $1 million contribution towards relief and rebuilding efforts this week. Additionally, the MetLife National Catastrophe Response Team is on the ground, both New York and Jersey, including bringing in three specialized high-tech response mobile offices to help customers out there get their claims processed started as soon as possible. And if you like to help out, and believe me, folks, we're asking you to make sure you help out. You can use your phone right now to make a donation of $10 via text to the Red Cross. Just text Red Cross to 90999. That's Red Cross 90999. Or go to redcross.org to make a donation. You are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on My Nine. We are coming back. All right, folks, guests of our post-game show get to receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Steakhouse with not one but two terrific convenient locations in Manhattan, one on 44th Street, the other at 28th Street on 5th Avenue. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anywhere, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of a steakhouse. And right now, let's go right downstairs where head coach Tom Coughlin is at the podium.
Offside. Creating a fourth and three where they have to kick field goal. And then covering kicks and punts the way we did was terrible, was awful. And we offensively, again, for a couple of games in a row, we didn't play well. We didn't appear to be very aggressive. We certainly didn't have any first downs. And I'm sure that our time of possession they've been averaging 35 minutes time of possession coming in, and I'm sure they got the same amount today. We didn't tackle well. We didn't stop the run well. They surprised me with some of the runs they called in situations where you would expect them to throw, being aggressive themselves. And we didn't make them pay, obviously, with that offsides. But, we wanted emotionally so badly to win the game, for obvious reasons, for all of our neighbors who are struggling and who need some type of inspiration. Of course, we didn't provide it for them. So we didn't play well, and we're going to have to get this straightened around some way, some form here, quickly, obviously. But that was not the kind of game we had planned to play. I don't know what it was. I wouldn't say that. You know, we didn't get anything done. Field position wasn't great, but still, make your own. Create your own. Yep, it has. I really don't know what to tell you there until I look at the tape. But, there's obviously circumstances where we were very much on the same page, very confident, and that's not the case right now for whatever reason. Last week wasn't a good game for Victor, and we didn't get ourselves open. We put a lot of attention toward that today, and we still didn't have a whole lot of daylight, and we'll have to look at that. I thought we had great energy. I thought we were as excited as could be coming off the sidelines, greeting our players. You know, we just didn't do anything with the ball again. You know, we ran the ball for 1 yard. We tried to throw a go route, and we didn't do much with that. We came back with an obvious third down. Everybody in the world knows what was coming, and we got a little bit of pressure, but it wasn't anything that we should have been able to handle, but we didn't. We didn't. We got pressure, and we didn't complete it, or we completed for what, a 3 or 4 yard gain.
Tom, do you believe in any possibility of distraction? I mean, you did obviously.
No. Yeah, we did, and we talked about it, and we tried to talk about it all week long. We tried to make sure that everyone understood that, but we also talked about when we got to work Wednesday afternoon, it was time to go to work. So, has everyone in this part of the world been affected by this tragic storm? Yes. Yes, we have. But is that an excuse? No. We're professional football players. The game will go on. We anticipated that. We never thought of it any other way. And we prepared ourselves accordingly. We worked hard to get everybody ready. I thought we had pretty good practices on Thursday and Friday. I thought we were excited about playing. I thought it was a good meeting last night. I thought their attention was outstanding. come to the park today and didn't play as well as we wanted to play. Well, we won the last one. Okay? We won the last one. So however you get them, you get them. You know, we had the same thing today. We didn't do anything offensively. We picked up a fumble and ran it back for a touchdown for one of our – and then when we were right there, we weren't able to do anything with it. So it's frustrating. I was very, very disappointed and didn't pull a lot of punches telling the players what we felt. It was – we've lost games around here where we've played really well and, you know, physically battled away and just got beat, but that wasn't one of them. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the Steelers either.
Sorry. Can you explain the lack of run defense?
No. Until I looked at the tape, no. And it was not a complicated affair. I mean, the ball was going straight up in there.
Any sense as to how Herzog fared?
Not really. Not really.
Did you feel that Deal was physically ready to be back after having seen him play? Or, you know, was maybe in retrospect Locklear a better bet to go today?
That's so far from anything to do with anything that happened out there on the field. Yes, he was ready to go. He'd had, what, 3 weeks of playing the XO tight end till we could watch and see how he was pushing and how strong he was. Well, it wasn't – I'm sure he would come and tell you that he didn't play as well as he would like to have played, and that's what we all feel. And we got to get him back on track. You know, he's our guy, and we have to get him back playing – the way he was a couple weeks ago, and we've got to do it in a hurry. But it's not just Eli now. You know, we're struggling to get ourselves in position so that it's an automatic for the quarterback too. What's that now? Well, I think the last one, which cost us really dearly, because I had to take my last timeout after a first down, but that was a pretty good move by a receiver to challenge a defender inside him and then slide outside, and the ball was just thrown. The accuracy was good. The slant that they hit, my God, we've been defending it all day and doing a good job, and all of a sudden he comes out, a very speedy receiver comes out the other side. So, you know, you got to give some credit to the opposition who's got a good football team. So,
all right, that is an obvious disappointed Tom Coughlin, and well, he should be. You know, Imani brought it up that this has been going on for 3 weeks now. Let's talk about the red zone. There's one thing being inside the 20. They're inside the 5. I call that the cash and carry zone, and they're not cashing in anything, and that is a real problem.
Again, you know, that's a lot with the blocking scheme up front when they're trying to get things going. If you pull somebody out, you got to be downhill. Everybody's got to pick a man and just go. A lot of pulls, a lot of backside runs. You got to stay behind the lead blockers. They're just not doing that right now. The other thing is, he said this a lot to digest in what Coach Coughlin said, but he said this a lot. He talked about the receivers not getting separation. Once you put that on TV, put that on film, guys see that. Now everybody knows it. Everybody's going to start pressing. Everybody's going to play a little tougher. Everybody's going to see if we can play them physical, we can take Cruz out of the game, or we can take Nicks out of the game, or we can take somebody out of the game.
You hit on that right on the head when you said they tried to play Cruz physical, because there was no way anybody was stopping him over the last couple of weeks. He was just kind of doing what he does, gets the ball and starts running up the field. But what the Steelers did today was they started hitting him, making him pay for every time he got the ball. And you saw in the second half, Victor Cruz wasn't as effective as he normally is, and now people see that on film, and they're going to try and be more physical with Victor Cruz. We're going to see what type of receiver he is. Now, we know what kind of receiver he is physically on the field, but now we're going to see how tough Victor Cruz really is.
Same with Akeem Nicks not being able to get off the bunt on the jam. That's the same thing. That's physical play, not allow him to get that separation for Eli.
Yeah, and everyone knew. They were talking about this was the most physical team the Giants probably would have seen all year. You come back from off the Dallas game, the best team in the perimeter as far as what they could do downfield offensively. But you talk about the most physical team, that defensive line, those linebackers, young defense, and they were injured in the secondary. I mean, you don't see Polamalu out there. Clark didn't play a lot. But what they did is they studied Victor Cruz. And, look, he's caught the last five passes from Eli Manning. So everyone knew if number 80 doesn't get it done, no one else is going to get done. And they really keyed on Victor Cruz. So we're going to see how they respond from that.
Tom Coughlin said it best when he said, you know, we've gotten beaten before where we played well. We didn't play well today. That is right on the money. All right. This segment, folks, brought to you by Adorama, the official electronics dealer of the New York Giants. Text Adorama to 88769 for a free gift. You are watching Giants Post Game Live presented by Timex here on My9. Stay with us. We are coming back.
Giants fans, we all know that Hurricane Sandy has devastated many of our communities.
Your support can help the Red Cross provide warm meals, shelter, and hope for the families and friends when they need it the most.
Your donation will provide critical support to those in need. Text Red Cross to 90999 to donate $10 or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Thanks for your support.
Thanks for your support.
Thanks for your support.
All right, folks, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on My9. We are live from the stage at MetLife Center, but right now let's go downstairs where quarterback Eli Manning is at the podium.
Tonight we're in a position down with a chance to go score a touchdown and take the lead and possibly win the game, and we didn't come through. And so, just all night we weren't as sharp as we needed to be. Efficient in the red zone, not very good on third down, and we haven't been playing our best football offensively the last few weeks. Our defense has been playing great, but tonight it finally caught up with us. That's something we're just not executing as well, and third downs, obviously that's a big part. Just not getting first, a little off here, just not executing, guys not doing everything perfectly, me missing some throws. So it's just a combination of everything. I don't think there's one thing that's saying, oh, we're just not doing this and that'll solve all our problems. It's just everybody working together, everybody doing playing good football on every situation, and that'll lead to points. No, I don't think that's the case. I think I feel like I'm throwing the ball accurately when I have opportunities to. It's just trying to find guys open, getting in good situations. So, we had some big plays that in the passing game for pass interference that accounted for about 50 or 100 yards or so on some big ones, but besides that, we're not getting our shots down the field as much. It's not consistent, and we just got to do better overall in the passing game. No, I thought our focus was good. I thought our practices were good all week. I thought guys knew the game plan, knew what to expect. I don't think that was the case. It wasn't like guys were doing the wrong things and guys, were in the wrong spots. That wasn't the case. It was just a matter of, we just didn't play well enough offensively. And sometimes you have those games where it's, obviously they're a good defense. They're talented, and they do a great job, in defense mixing up the looks. And, but I think, we just, just didn't have it. But we've been in those situations where, hey, you have those tough games, but in the fourth quarter when you need drives, when you need plays, we've been able to bounce back and make those plays, and we didn't do that tonight. Well, it's just a matter of execution and finding teams are sometimes playing two safeties high and trying forcing you to run the ball and we're running it, but just not getting the yardage or not getting in the end zone running the ball. So we're having to throw on third down. We had a fade route, it was very close, and we just didn't execute on that one. So I think we just gotta find ways to make the plays down there.
Eli, the fact that you haven't been able to win the ball
No, I mean, I think I've kept my regular schedule. I've been able to, you know, watch my film and come to practice, and you know, tried hard to stay, you know, try to stay in a normal routine. And so I think, you know, I thought the guys did a good job of not complaining about things, not making excuses, and you know, we were prepared to play tonight. We just didn't play our best. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we would like to got a first down there, and in the fourth quarter, we were backed up on a drive and couldn't go. But you know, just hey, we had a chance with the lead. We knew we had to go down and get a touchdown to take the lead, and we weren't able to come through.
Can you take us through the interception you
threw in the first half? Can you take us through? Yeah, just bad decision by me. They had pretty good coverage based on the play. It was trying to come back and give a shot to Victor on a corner route, and just got hit as I threw it. The ball didn't come out how I wanted to, and you know, should have not attempted that throw under the circumstances.
I think Giants fans can appreciate how honest Eli Manning was in his comments. I mean, you had to watch a third string running back and Isaac Redman go up and down the field, eat up 35 minutes with the time of possession. And so the Giants offensively were really never able to get started. And it seems like when we started getting excited, seeing the plays that they gained were by penalty, that's when you knew this offense was in trouble. I think almost 90 yards and just penalty yards passing. When you get excited about penalties and that's how you move the ball downfield, that's when you know you're in trouble. So we're glad that Eli Manning was honest. But they really haven't played well the last two, maybe two and a half games.
Well, yeah, well, one of the things that I noticed was if you look at the stat sheet, they have 8 returns for 249 yards. I mean, that to me is a sign that this team is struggling. And it's not a sign to me that they're not focused on the game today, because usually this team is very close to the vest. They play special teams very, very soundly. And today, the special teams let them down. It really changed the momentum of the entire game when Pittsburgh Steelers were getting those long returns.
Yeah, the long returns hurt them a lot. I think also what hurt them a lot was not being able to get any kind of continuity started with the offense. No ability to run the ball, no ability for passes. Again, Victor Cruz is targeted 11 times. The next player that's targeted maybe 4 times. So, you know, there's no continuity. You can't keep drives going, and it's tough on an offense.
No, it was just a bad Giants game. But you know what? I think I speak for everybody here. Today's game just doesn't seem that important this week with everything that's gone on. All right, folks, buy and sell Giants tickets at NFL.com/ticket exchange. Don't wait. Buyers, you get in, and sellers, you get paid. You are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on My9. We're coming back.
Well, your 4-game winning streak comes to an end, Mathias. I'm sure that's not exactly the way you planned it, but the Steelers were really tough today.
No, I mean, you got to, you know, give them credit. They executed. You know, we just weren't in the right spots all day, and, you know, they took advantage of it.
What was the toughest part about it? Was it Ben's ability to make plays, or was it just stopping Redmond? Because he really ran all over you.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously had a good ground attack. I mean, they ran the ball well, strong. We missed tackles. I mean, he was able to break through a few tackles here and there. And then, you know, Ben's a guy, he always does what's needed to get the ball completed. And, you know, so we just got to make sure that going forward, we shore up our tackling, and that we, you know, shore up our zones as well.
Disappointing in that you won the turnover battle, but I think they got such great field position on special teams that was also critical.
Yeah, I mean, that was obvious. I mean, that was an obvious area that we got to improve on, special teams, just, you know, getting the ball stopped, getting them on the ground, and allowing us to come out, you know, with good field position. So, you know, we'll get it taken care of. You know, we're in a bad spot right now, but we'll move forward. We'll make sure those same mistakes don't happen again.
Nice, Kevin Duke. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Michael, that huge play on the fake field goal down at the goal line, I thought that might give you the impetus to win the game, but could you talk about it?
Yeah, I was just, you know, doing my reading my keys, and, you know, the coach called a block middle, and my job was to contain, and I just read the play and was able to step up and make the tackle. I didn't do anything more than what I was supposed to do.
At the same time, Big Ben certainly made a bunch of big plays today. Very, very difficult to deal with him.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we just on a not capitalizing on some of the things that that we could have capitalized on. But give him credit, he extended the play sometimes. And like you said, he's an all-pro quarterback. He made all-pro plays today.
Michael Cole, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, back to you guys.
All right. Thank you. Excuse me. I got all choked up.
It's only one game.
Talking about tackling, he couldn't get it out.
Let me ask you a question, though. We can talk about all what went wrong, but how about it was 3rd and 9 late in the game, and they still had a chance. It was, you know, 2 and change left. Wide open for a 16-yard. They allowed Bent to make a 16-yard completion. That's what struck me. I mean, they couldn't make a big play when they needed to.
Well, you know, a big play when you need to is one thing. Being able to have is an accumulative effect. When you don't make tackles, when the guy's running right up the middle, it'd be different if it was a speedy guy running off the edge. It's their third running back on the depth chart. You get him, you run right up the middle, you take the heart out of the defense. And Roman will tell you, playing offensive line, blocking even the money to you. If you run at a team over and over and over again, even though the Giants kept rising up to make plays, it takes a lot out of them.
Yeah, I mean, go back to this Giants game against Carolina. Andre Brown running the ball, getting past the line of scrimmage before he gets tackled. That's what Isaac Redman did today. Every time he got past the line of scrimmage, this defensive line wasn't really good at two-gapping. They're good at penetrating, getting upfield, and they weren't used to playing. I mean, these are 350-pound guys, and we're not making excuses for the defensive line, but they're not good at just taking the block, absorbing it, fitting, and then reacting. Going back to that third down, Russ, you started expecting Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to get outside the pocket, maybe make a play. You know, he can extend plays. But he stood in the pocket and connected that on 3rd and 16. I think that was the most disappointing part, that everyone they were supposed to be, and they were almost watching Ben, not watching the guy they were defending.
Yeah, we all know coming into this game that the Pittsburgh Steelers were the best team on third down at close to 50%. Today they were at 46%, and the Giants were only 2 of 10 at 20%. That what that does is that takes away plays from your offense.
Right.
The Giants' offense only had 48 plays opposed to the Pittsburgh Steelers' 69 plays. So that means that they're on the field for much longer, wearing down your defense with that running game. And those are the types of things, if you're an evenly matched team, you can't give away that advantage.
Right. Well,
Pittsburgh Steelers, they played Pittsburgh Steelers-type football, came away with a 24-20 victory. You are watching Giants Post Game Live. All right, our Sports Authority question of the week. What year did the Giants join the National Football League? Was it 1923, was it 1925, or 1927? We will tell you when we are coming back. I'm Russ Salzberg, along with Roman Oben, Howard Cross, and Imani Toomer. Again, you are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, here on My9. All right, folks, our Sports Authority question of the week for you was, what year did the Giants join the National Football League? Was it 1923, was it 1925, or 1927? And the answer is 1925. Sports Authority, the official retail sporting goods store of the Giants. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. All right, what do you say we now go downstairs to the Coaches Club, where a little while ago, Paul Dottino caught up with Corey Webster.
Guys, another turnover machine today. You got two. They only had one, so it was a plus one for the turnover ratio. You had a nice pick there in the second half, but unfortunately not enough to win the game.
Yep. You know, our goal is to get 3 turnovers a game. We came up a little short, but obviously we want to win. We wasn't able to finish it like we were supposed to, and it was a good team. Take nothing away from us. It was a better team today.
Now, they got a lot of good field position off special teams, which puts your defense in a bind. I understand that, but still, Redman ran for a lot of yards on you, and Ben was able to make some very important plays on third down.
We don't point any fingers. You know, our job as a defense, doesn't matter where we the offense start. Our job is to go out there and stop them. We didn't do that. We gave up a bunch of yards in the rush. We gave up some pass plays when we needed to get off the field. So we got to go back to the drawing board, get better from it, learn from our mistakes, and hopefully we can get better going into next week.
You guys had a 4-game winning streak stop today. How much of that feel-good feeling may have gone with you out onto the field today? Did maybe you think it was going to come easier than it did? Is this maybe a good thing that you lost?
Never a good thing to lose, but I don't think we went out there without just thinking we were going to roll a giant helmet. And, you know, when we knew Pittsburgh was a really good football team, and they put their best foot forward. And we just came up a little short. Like I said, we go back to the drawing board, continue to get better, and hopefully we can improve going into next week.
All right, Corey Webster, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
Well, you know, he's right. No excuses, Corey says. Just flat out, they got beat every which way.
Yeah, they got beat every which way. But, see, I kind of wonder, you know, this collective bargaining agreement, back in the old days, and I hate to say this to make it sound like I'm an old guy.
But you are.
You are.
We would, the shoe fits.
We would have gone to practice, put on pads, and had some tackling drills. We would have done something.
Right.
We would have blocked one, a couple drills, full speed, to get back into the flow of things. They don't have the ability to do that anymore. Where are they going to find this?
Well, it's going to be – they're going to have to find a way to work their techniques in practice without hitting each other. But it just seems like, to me, this is more of a trend that finally ended up biting themselves today in this game, as opposed to something that they can't remedy. I think this team can bounce back, and I think that if you listen to Kiwi in his interview, he was very positive in saying we will get this thing fixed, and I agree with him.
Well, that goes back to a belief system. There's a belief system with this team that they will get it done, that they have the right pieces in place, that leadership. I mean, Corey Webster, two interceptions. This guy's battled a broken hand. He's playing better every single game. You saw Justin Tuck, two sacks today, O.C. Mignora. So the guys that are supposed to get it done that have got the big paychecks, those guys are getting it done. But offensively, offenses are built for 12, 13, 15 play drives. Defenses are built to get off the field. So you've got to start to see this second half of the field, Russ. You've got to start to see offense has to start getting those 12, 14, 15, those big play drives, getting in the end zone, distributing the ball, what's been done to them the last few weeks. And that's going to help the defense play even better than they played.
It had better reappear next week in Cincinnati. All right, you are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on My9. We are live from the stage at MetLife Central. Stay with us. We are coming back as Corey Webster signs autograph downstairs.
You can tell he's disappointed in it. You know, we had a lot riding on this game. Everyone knows about what's taking place this last past week in this area. And, you know, a lot of us have been affected ourselves, and we wanted to come out and just give this region, put some smiles on some people's faces. So, that's frustrating in itself. And then knowing that you had an opportunity to beat a great football team at home, let that slip through your hands, you know. We've been a team known for finishing. We take the lead in the fourth quarter, and we don't sustain that. That's frustrating, and that's not us. So we got to go back and look at this thing tomorrow, and come back next week and try to get to 7-3. I don't think so. I thought, Pittsburgh did a great job of executing in the fourth quarter. That screen pass with Wallace that kind of broke the momentum and started to swing it in their way, and we weren't able to get it back. I don't know. I don't think anything about, the emotion from this week with Sandy or anything like that affected us. I thought, just like Eli just said, we was prepared to play our best football. Didn't happen. A lot of that goes to the fact that, Pittsburgh played pretty good.
Well, Justin Tuck sounding like head coach Tom Coughlin and the rest of the Giants we've already heard from today. They all know they did not get the job done. All right, what do you say we go back downstairs, Paul Dottino and Michael Boley?
Well, the Giants defense has become a turnover machine. You have become one of those key elements. Again, picking up a fumble today and rumbling in for a touchdown. Nothing makes a defensive player happier than scoring points, right?
Most definitely. Anytime we can get in the end zone as a defense, it's a bonus for us.
Now, Michael, at the same time, you can't be happy with the rushing yardage. Redmond really ran roughshod at times over you guys. How disappointing was that, considering you knew what it was the Steelers were going to do? Nothing fancy, and yet they were able to get the yardage.
Very disappointing. We knew beginning of the week that they were going to come in here and try to run the ball. So for us to come out and really do a very poor job of tackling, that's what it boiled down to, was tackling. For us to do the way we did today, tackling him, it was very disappointing for us as a defense.
That fourth quarter, Tom Coughlin loves to use the word finish all the time, and yet they were able to get that winning touchdown drive late in the fourth quarter. You talk about the missed tackling. That was certainly there. It looked like guys were getting caught out of the lanes again, too. Was it mostly physical or mental errors?
Most of it was physical. We knew what we had to do, and at times we just didn't do it. We didn't execute, and bottom line is they made more plays than we did.
And finally, I did think, as I was saying right before you came in, the front four got a decent job of getting pressure on Big Ben. Four sacks is actually a good day against him. You didn't take a lot of chances with many blitzes.
Not at all. for the most part, you know, we were, you know, dependent on the front, you know, to get the pressure that we needed, you know, to get us off the field. And at times we just didn't, you know, in the back end, you know, myself included, working with the front, we all just didn't really, you know, we didn't work together at times.
Michael Boley, thanks for your time.
All right, thanks.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
And one of the things that I really noticed in this game was Reuben Randall, another receiver besides Victor Cruz, had an opportunity to step up and make a big play on a third down in the third quarter. And he made a kind of a passive effort on the fade route. Didn't really put much of an effort. I think he's the type of guy, a young guy they drafted high. They're expecting him to make big plays. I think if he would have came in and made that play, it would have changed the entire complexion of the game, got that offense a little jump started. I think that other receivers besides Cruz on this team, is for this offense to move as fluently as it was in weeks past, they're going to have contributions from guys like Reuben Randall.
Yeah, I mean, overall, a lot of young players, you know, Russ, as you know, we've seen Ramses Barton, we've seen Reuben Randall, we've seen a lot of these young guys, even Will Beattie come off an injury. We've seen a lot of young guys contribute, and they're going to continue to get better, and you will see that, and that's what comes with experience. But I think going back to what Boley said, it's really the physical battle is something that can be fixed. You didn't see a lot of mental errors. You didn't see a lot of guys not lining up. You didn't see a lot of penalties. Pittsburgh Steelers were the most penalized team in the league, I think, on special teams. So if it's physical things, those things can be fixed. You go next week, you play the Bengals on a road game that you should win, and then you have the bye week, and then you see how you're going to approach this thing. But physically, Howard, as you said, you can't go back to Wednesday practice where you put on the pads and go 9-on-7 all day. But in this new CBA football, I mean, they've got to find a way within these parameters to go back and try to fix this thing.
Let me tell you something about the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to go home tonight. They're going to get tape. And when they get up tomorrow, they're going to have four games to look at. And the four games are going to be the blueprint of how to run the ball against the Giants front. And that's the thing that I'm worried about most of all. They're going to go all the way back to the Washington Redskins, and they're going to see how to, like, go up inside and run the ball, keep your legs turning, stay behind your blocks. You're going to get some yards. Keep bouncing it. Keep going after them. That's the thing that worries me. It's not the physical. It's not the mentality. It's not anything. It's on film. And once it's on film, they'll go back to it over and over again until somebody stops it.
Well, they're in first place, but they got some fixing to do the Giants indeed. All right. Because of the pain and suffering caused this week, the MetLife Foundation, folks, is making a $1 million contribution toward relief and rebuilding efforts this week. And additionally, the MetLife National Catastrophe Response Team, they're on the ground in both New York and New Jersey, including bringing in three specialized high-tech response mobile offices to help you customers get their claims process started as soon as possible. And if you'd like to help, and please do, we urge you to, you can do so by using your phone right now to make a donation of $10 via text to the Red Cross. Just text Red Cross to 90999 or go to redcross.org to make a donation. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on My9. Make sure you mark that number down and give, folks. We're coming back. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, folks, presented by Timex here on My9. Okay, we were talking about a 6-3 football team. Next week becomes very important because they got to put the brakes on this ugliness.
Yeah, it's an important game. It's a must-win game. It's all those things. But they get to buy it right after that. What they want to do in this thing is go to 7-3, get back, lick their wounds, look at some film, try to figure out and coach up how to get these tackles and make some plays. You can see the standings. They're just one game ahead, basically, in the loss column. You want to be more ahead. And the only way to do that is to win the next one.
Yeah, and you look at this football team, you know, this isn't the Atlanta Falcons or Houston. You know, some of these teams are either undefeated or one loss. This is a team that's still ahead in the division, but they know they have a long way to go. They know they have a lot of fixing to do. You have to solve some things at the line of scrimmage. You have to run the ball better. You have to play better at the quarterback position. I mean, that's something that you should expect to do when you go up that airplane next Saturday in Cincinnati. And Russ, as you know, you want to be the best team in the league November, December, going into January.
What I'm worried about is the running game, them stopping the run. I mean, Isaac Redmond today had so many yards. He had 150-some yards, but most of them were after contact, missing tackles. Those are the types of things that get you beat. If you play a team that's evenly matched, just like I said before, with you, you can't give them away anything.
Yeah.
And that's what they did today. And it finally, after the 2 weeks of kind of struggling, finally caught up with them today.
All right, what do you say we go downstairs right now, check in with Paul Dottino, David Boss.
You know, David, the running game continues to be inconsistent. You guys have had some great games where you've really run the ball well, and then another game like today where it doesn't go very well, and obviously that puts a lot of pressure on Eli and the rest of your offense. Can you put a finger on why so up and down with that run game?
No, you know, just we need to do a better job executing. I feel like, you know, some of the little detailed things, you know, finishing blocks or, you know, just getting up to certain linebackers will help us. You know, that's what we were doing more consistently before, and, you know, that's kind of faded off now. And we just need to get back to getting our confidence back and going out there and doing what we know we can do.
How difficult was it to play this fire zone blitz package that the Steelers run? I mean, they're sending multiple guys from all over the field on every down. We were told that it's one of the more complex ones to deal with. I don't know. Maybe you feel differently, but it did look like it was certainly something that caused some headaches.
You know, that comes back to execution. You know, they have their certain, you know, blitz packages, and, you know, they do a lot of that. But, you know, that's where practice comes in. That's where you got to be able to pick it up. And no matter what the blitz is, and, you know, we just didn't do a good job of that today. And it goes all around, you know, as an offense, we just aren't executing as well as we should.
David Boss, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. You know, you guys mentioned before, I think it was you, Howard, the bye week coming up after Cincinnati. To me, that makes Cincinnati that much more important because heaven knows you don't want to go into that into the bye week on a two-game losing streak, knowing when you come back from the bye week, you have the Green Bay Packers here on a Sunday night.
Well, you definitely don't want to go into the bye week with a two-game losing streak. You don't want to go into the bye week also playing bad. You want to have something, some good mojo when you go into the bye week. And getting Cincinnati is one of those get-right teams, one of those teams you can play against. You can get a few things back. You can get your run game back. You can get your defensive line back. You can get your offensive line back. Maybe get your tackling back. You know, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is another back that's been bounced around a little bit, but he's still a back that can be successful if you don't tackle. They can get all that right against the Cincinnati Bengals.
And you don't want him bouncing you around.
That's true.
Yeah. One thing I know is that last year, you know, around this time is when the Giants went on their four-game skid. So we want to try and nip this in the bud and not let it 1 week turn into two bad weeks, turn into the bye week, and on to another third game. So the Giants really need to focus in and try to right the ship. And you're right, the Cincinnati Bengals are the get-right team.
Yeah, when you look at the schedule, and all this season's always looked at in quarters. Every four games is a quarter. And you look at the schedule and you say, okay, maybe Green Bay is a team that they can spare to lose, but they got to win the other one. You already lost your first game of the third quarter. So you've got to go 3-0 again. I mean, just like you just went 4-0. So you got to beat Cincinnati. You got to go into that bye week, like you guys said, feeling good about yourself, feeling good about your production. You have to keep that defense off the field if you're offense.
And defense got to get themselves
off
the field.
Yeah, well, they got to get themselves off the field.
Yeah, you're right.
Whenever you have the ball, you've got to capitalize. Or if you can't get off the field, if you're getting on the field in three, four plays, then get in the end zone. And don't give up. Don't just kick 3 points. So a lot of those things, again, you're ahead of the division, you're 6-3, but there are a lot of things that need to be fixed, and that's really the approach that you want.
Let me ask you a question about Mike Tomlin. Do you think he took the approach he's one of the best coaches in the National Football League. He told his guys, listen, they're suffering back in New Jersey. You know, they've been through a tragedy there this week. The guys are a little beat up. We got to come in focused because they – played the exact opposite way the Giants look today. They played with a determination and a focus. You were talking about the running game. There were a lot of running, you know, after the tackle, after the initial hit.
Yeah, there was a lot of disrespect going on. The fact that Tomlinson went for on fourth down when he could have tied the game, as opposed to tried to go for the lead
on a fake.
On a fake with a little. With the end of the time, it was really a disrespectful, I thought.
I think it was just a blueprint. Again, guys, I think they know you can run the ball against the Giants, stick it right in the middle, and I think also press the receivers on the outside. They're not going to get open. They're not getting any separation.
Yeah, I mean, I know Mike Tomlin very well. He was a DB's coach when I was in Tampa. I actually spoke to him before the game, and he just said, look, we just took care of our business. We know it's been rough. You know, I'm just happy to play. I mean, he was just speaking like he was speaking at a press conference, but you knew that – no matter what, they were going to be ready to play because of the type of the team they were playing today.
All right, well, hopefully Giants regroup next week. And next week, the next game, Giants-Bengals, Sunday, November 11th in Cincinnati. Game time is 1 p.m. And as always, the moment the game ends, you want to flip right back over here to Mine Eye for Giants Post Game Live presented by Dimex. For Roman Omid, Howard Cross, and Amani Tuma, I'm Russ Salzberg, the rest of our crew. Thanks for being part of Giants Post Game Live. We will see you next week.